hospital is patient-centric. Hospital operations management is patient-centric. Now, going ahead, we need to understand what are the concepts which make operations management ongoing and help us streamline the processes in the hospital, patient satisfaction, how it revolves around patient and how it revolves around making the experience of the patient better, with better improvement in the processes, whether better streamlined processes and enhancing the experience of patients. Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Apeksha with 18 year experience in hospital administration and operations management, and here today we are going to learn about key concepts in hospital management. In the key concepts, we'll be understanding patient flow in the hospital. We will be learning about staff resource allocation, capacity management, demand optimization, financial management, IT. We will be learning about disaster preparedness, and we will also understanding other few important key concepts in hospital operation management, which enhances a patient's experience in the hospital. Now, let us first start with patient flow management. As you all know, the patient flow management in a hospital is the strategic orchestration of a patient movement from admission to discharge. So, the patient flow management starts at the moment the patient enters the hospital premises, whether it is for OPD services, whether it is for IPD services, or whether it is for some diagnostic services. And the moment he enters until he discharges, the patient flow management is involved or revolved around the patient, aimed at improving patient experience and operational efficiencies. Now, let's understand why patient flow management matters. Now, why do you think the patient flow management matters? Yes, it matters because it enhances patient satisfaction. When a patient enters the hospital and he finds the processes and the services delivered are smooth and timely, it contributes to the positive patient experience and overall satisfaction. Now, let us take an example here. If you have an appointment for a particular consultant, take an example of a surgical consultant, and you enter the premises, the appointment is of 10 o'clock, and when you are there at 10 o'clock, you immediately can see a consultant. Yes, your experience here will enhance. You will be more happy that it was a timely service which was provided by the hospital, and that is how a reputation of hospital is built. So, in patient flow management, enhancing patient satisfaction is one of the reasons, why it matters. Then we have maximizing resource utilization. When we say about maximizing resource utilization, the resources in the hospital includes your beds, your staffs, your other services, or the equipments which are used for providing the services. When the patient flow ensures that the healthcare resources including the beds or other resources are used optimally. So patient flow management, the reason for patient flow management is maximizing the resource utilization. Going ahead, we have minimizing waiting time. Like I gave you an example of a surgical OPD, where the moment you enter the hospital and you have a 10 o'clock appointment and you're able to see the doctor on time, it enhances your experience towards the hospital. By minimizing the wait times, patient experience a reduced wait time, leading to quicker access to care. Yes, it leads to a quicker access to the medical care. It leads to the quicker access to the medical services like diagnostic services, and it reduces the waiting times. When we say it reduces the waiting time, it also enhances the opportunities for more patients to accommodate, because the things are moving timely. When your slots are allotted and the work is done on timely manner, it automatically gives you a window period where you can include more patients or provide the services to more patients. Now, going ahead, we also have improving quality of care. Quality plays an important role in healthcare. Efficient patient flow can reduce errors and enhance the quality of care. So when things are not in hurry, when you know that, you know, patient flow is timely, it reduces the error because there is no hurry. In hurry, we tend to make a mistake. It also improves the quality care. It also improves the quality parameters, what we measure every month. So improving quality care is one of the aspects in patient flow management. Now, let us understand what are the challenges. When I call challenges in patient flow, we know a patient flow should be in a particular way or a particular, processes have to be followed with all the reasons why we should undergo a patient flow, which also includes your minimizing your waiting time. So now let us understand what are the challenges in, which disrupt the patient flow. So one is the overcrowding, poor communication, lack of automation, inefficient bed management. So these are the few. Let us explain overcrowding. Now, when I say overcrowding, a crowded hospital can lead to the delayed care and the decreased patient comfort. For example, a particular consultant in OPD, for surgical OPD, a particular consultant in a surgical OPD have 10 slots per day. Okay, and there are walk-in patients, 5 slots, what you have accommodated. There will be accommodated more 5 patients. So when your capacity is of 10 patients, you are adding more 5 patients and the premises or the services are overcrowded with the patient, where you will find that your appointment patients are also unhappy because of the delayed care, because you have barged in the OPD walk-in patients there, and it also decreases the patient comfort. The patient is comfortable when he knows that all the patients are aligned, appointment patients are aligned, but the moment you understand that there is a walk-in patient aligned between the appointment patients, the patient is going to feel uncomfortable, he is going to feel unhappy about it, and overall the overcrowding will lead to poor services. Now, poor communication. Inadequate communication among the healthcare teams can cause coordination issues. Communication is the key. Communication is the key between the patient, between the consultant, between the hospital teams. When we say communication is poor, we understand that there is a communication gap or a communication failure between the consultant and the team or the patient. Every patient or every team needs to have a particular coordination to enhance the services. The patient should be aware about their waiting times. The patient should be aware about the services, the time the services are required. So inadequate communication may lead to poor coordination and further unhappiness in the patient and disruption of patient flow. Now let us take an example of poor communication here. A patient XYZ comes to an hospital and a receptionist staff tell him that there will be a 15 minutes waiting for a particular service, and the service what he will be undergoing will take another half an hour. So the patient plans his another appointments according to the time frame given by the receptionist. But further, when he comes to know that his waiting time has increased from 15 to 30 minutes and there has been no communication from the receptionist about this delay, he is going to create an issue, or he is going to be unhappy, and that is going to spoil his communication. Same ways, if a particular patient is booked at 10 o'clock and the consultant is delayed for some XYZ reason, and if the receptionist staff doesn't communicate, the patient waits for half an hour and then goes and asks about the details, and then he gets an information. This is a poor information. The receptionist here fails to provide an aptly information or timely information to the patient about the delays. So now that we have understood poor communication, now let's go ahead and understand lack of automation. Now with lot of digitalization happening in healthcare, lot of manual processes are turned down into a technical or automatic processes. So manual processes can slow down the administrative task, the billing task, or the appointment scheduling task are slowed down by an lack of automation. If things are automatic or digitalized, it can save lot of time of patient, enhancing his experience and the flow of care. For example, let's take an example of healthcare services where a patient is sitting in an OPD OPD is planned for an appointment at 10 o'clock. He is billed, he's registered in the digital manner, and then he sits in the waiting area where he gets his alarm saying his appointment with his basically the token number, and then he enters the patient room. He doesn't have to ask the receptionist how much tokens are ahead, how many patients are ahead. He is prepared mentally that, oh, my token number is 4 and there is a token number 1 going on. So he knows exactly 3 patients are waiting ahead without any manual intervention here, which helps enhance the experience of the patient and also helps to improve the patient flow. Now, let us go ahead and understand inefficient bed management. Poor bed management can result in resource wastage. Now, when I say poor bed management or inefficient bed management, I mean a particular patient is discharged at 10 o'clock, but he is not discharged physically at 10 o'clock, but he utilizes the bed for next 4 hours because his transportation to his home is not available. It is poor allocation and poor bed management which takes place here, which spoils the patient's experience and also spoils the resource. It wastes the resource, it wastes the bed resource, which can be allotted to some other patient who is awaiting for that particular bed. Now, let us go ahead with and understand the key metrics in patient flow. So hospital uses various metrics to access patient flow. As we spoke about, one is length of stay, where the average length of a patient's hospital stay is measured. The length of stay explains us what is an average length of stay of the patient in the hospital, and then it improves the patient bed management. It helps us providing bed to the other patients. It also clinically monitors the patient that what are the patients which are staying beyond a certain average, is it clinically required. So overall length of stay allows us to measure the patient's length of stay in the hospital and improve bed management, improve patients' clinical experiences. So that is one of the parameters which is measured in the hospital, and it is bifurcated into types. One is surgical length of stay and one is medical length of stay. So all these two different parameters are measured, and eventually an average length of stay is calculated for the particular hospital, and it has to be ensured that average length of the stay for a patient has to be minimum, and we need to work every month understanding the clinical aspects behind it. Now, going ahead, throughput, the rate at which patients move through the care processes, or the time taken for patients to move around the care processes. This is measured to understand where there is delay or which processes are taking more time, which can be others optimized and enhance the experience of the patient. Wait times are measured everywhere, in the OPD, in the admission, in your services, radiological services or diagnostic services. It also is measured in the appointment giving services, where we ensure that the wait time in providing the patient's appointment is minimum. How we optimize the appointment services in a better way, or an OPD services in a better way, that we lessen or reduce the patient's waiting time, which again enhances the patient flow and the patient's experience in the hospital. Going ahead, readmission rate. Readmission rates are the frequency of patients returning to the hospital after discharge with similar clinical reasons or similar clinical complaints. Here we monitor the readmission rate, which also helps us monitoring the clinical services or the clinical facilities provided to the patient. And readmission rates are to be minimized. They are monitored in a way like the readmission rate within 24 hours, readmission rate within 48 hours, readmission rate within 72 hours. It is also one of the quality parameters where we understand how a particular patient is readmitted for the similar reason. So was there any care given not well, or were there any not properly care given to the patient, and patient was early discharged before he was completely well. So it helps us understand the clinical aspects also of the patient, and it gives an holistic approach towards the care given to the patient. benefits of effective patient flow management. Now, we have learned about, you know, why patient flow management and the issues in, you know, challenges in patient flow management. Now, let us understand the benefits of patient flow management. Well-managed patient flow system can result in numerous benefits. See, I have been talking about the benefits in each and every step where I have been explaining you the previous slides. But let us understand here in detail. Patient-centered care. Patient receives timely and personalized care. We spoke about how a timely care is important for the patients to get well on time, enhance their experience and clinical proficiencies. Operational efficiencies. Hospital operate more efficiently, reducing cost. When you do a bed optimization, it reduces your cost. When you do optimization of OPD, it reduces your cost, improves the efficiency of the department, which eventually improves the patient experience and also it improves your revenue. So going ahead, it is staff satisfaction. When things are moving timely, staff doesn't feel stressed. There is no pressure on the staff. When I say that, you know, particular OPD is delayed and the patient is yelling at the staff, it stresses the staff. When the things are not moving on time, which the time the staff has committed, the staff stresses out because he is, you know, interpreting that a patient now is going to come and shout at him for the services which are delayed. So better patient flow can lead to reduced stress of the healthcare workers. It can enhance their working climate or environment. Competitive advantage. The hospitals that excel in patient flow management stand out in the healthcare industry. The patient coming to your hospital, if he is happy with the experience, he is finding timely processes are being followed, timely services are delegated, he is going to go out and market for your team or for your hospital, saying that this particular hospital, all the services are timely, and it will also make you stand out in the industry because patient flow management is overall is where the patient is at center. It enhances the patient experience, enhances the patient services. It also enhances and reduces the stress of healthcare workers and the working environment. Now, the key aspects of patient flow management. When I say key aspects, we have already spoken about it. It is appointment scheduling, it is triage process, it is bed registration, it is patient registration in the hospital, it is undergoing certain diagnostics tests. So there are multiple key aspects of patient flow management. Now let us talk about appointment scheduling. Efficient time slot allocation, consideration of appointment time and provider availability. So when I say appointment scheduling, how does it work? So appointment scheduling is done in 2 to 3 types. Right now with the digitalization, we have a third type also. Previously, we had an appointment, a telephonic appointment booking. Second, we had an appointment booking at the OPD desk or in the hospital. And now with the digitalization, we also have online appointments available. So all three ways, we provide an efficient time slot allocation. If there is any error in the time slot allocation, it is going to again affect the patient experience. So appointment type and provider, consideration of appointment type. So what is the appointment time? What appointment is required? Is it an urgent appointment or is it a routine appointment or a regular appointment? The patient is differentiated according to it, and the provider available is told by the appointment team where a patient books an appointment or walks in an emergency for the services he is required. Triaging process. Now, initial assessment of an urgency and priority is called a triaging process. So, triage is the process which takes place in emergency department, where once the patient arrives, the patient is triaged by a medical officer or a doctor to understand what is the urgency of triaging process. Presently, we are following Australasian triage process, which is further divided into 5 categories, where 1 is an immediate attention and a 5 is does not require an attention, where the patient can wait and can be treated in the OPD. Now, timely identification of critical cases are done through triage. As I told you, triage 1, if evaluated, or triage type is 1, the patient needs an immediate intervention, a clinical intervention, where a patient in triage 5, type 5, does not require an immediate intervention and can be treated on OPD basis. So now let's move ahead and talk about patient registration. Streamlining patient information collection and reducing administrative burden. Patient registration is again one of the important aspects where we get the patient's statistics and his demographics. We document it, we note it down, we understand what kind of patients are coming to the hospital, and we also monitor the time taken for the registration. Now, when I say a registration time, we also have an automated process where patient can do a self-registration online. Patient can come to the OPD and fill a form, or patient comes to the OPD and the registration staff helps him fill up the form. So patient registration is one of the important aspects where we collect the information of the patient, reducing the administrative burden. So if we digitalize it, it is definitely reduce an administrative burden. It will also help us store a patient documentation in a particular registration number, so that can be accessed everywhere. So next time the patient is available in the hospital, we can refer to that document, and it reduces the stress on the clinical as well as administrative team, where they get an access with the point of a click. Bed management, as we spoke about, maximum hospital bed capacity, coordinating admission and transfers. So bed management involves maximum hospital bed capacity. It maximizes the bed can be allotted to the patient, and coordinating admissions and transfers. So we know that a particular patient requires a bed, is discharged. We discharge the patient. We ensure that the patient is timely discharged from the hospital premises and the next bed is allotted. So the transfers, the admissions and the discharges, all of these are taken care of by the bed management, in the bed management and by the bed management team. Workflow optimization, identifying the bottlenecks and streamlining the processes, standardized protocols for efficiency. We have to ensure that the workflow optimization is done in all the services which are provided in the hospital. We have to identify the bottlenecks which are not letting our processes flow streamly, and we have to ensure that we do the standardization and work on the efficiency of the workflow, which will, you know, improve the services and streamline the processes. Communication and collaboration. Clear communication among healthcare teams, which is very important. I have already spoken about it, and coordinating patient movement care. So how communication helps us to improve the team, clear communication improves the team coordination with the patient, and also enhances the patient movement and care services. Strategies for effective patient flow management. Now, when I say strategies for effective patient flow management, we have two strategies are long-term. Long-term improvement of processes, which will enhance the patient flow, which will be effective, which will improve the effective patient flow management in the hospital. Enhancing patient's experience, staff satisfaction. Now, let's go ahead and understand strategies for the same. Discharge planning. When we say discharge planning, timely discharge planning for bed availability, coordination for follow-up and patient education will be effective strategy. Now, when I say discharge planning, it is very easy mentioning it in a single word, but discharge is a huge process where we have to multiple coordination among the teams. It is the consultant, it is the nursing, it is the pharmacy, it is the billing. So it is coordination of four to five different stakeholders which come together, and the patient is discharged from the hospital. When we say the strategy has to be formed, we have to understand where are the bottlenecks, what are the problems, and how that problems can be resolved, and how coordination between all the stakeholders can enhance timely patient discharge and bed availability for another patient. Technology utilizations. Technology utilizations involve leveraging EHRs, electronic health records, CPOI systems, and RTLS, where we understand that how electronic health records help patient throughout the country access to his health records, irrespective of him being physically present in the hospital. In the older times, patients were dependent. If he required any report, he had to mail the hospital. If he's sitting in some another city, then the hospital would, identify whether it is the same patient and then provide him the reports, which would take almost 24 to 48 hours minimum to, access his report. But now, with the EHRs or electronic health record, patient sitting in any part of the world can access his health record with just a click. And the time can improve, which will also enhance the patient's experience. With the RTLS system, you get to know a timely position of the patient, where is he located, and it improves his patient flow management in the hospital. Continual monitor and improvement. Regular analysis of patient flow metrics provides us the a benchmark where we need to understand that if the flow rates of the more or less, and then we have to improve it. The data-driven process improvement can be done again, which helps the patient's experience and enhances his patient flow management in the hospital. The patient-centered approach. Involvement of the patients in care decisions. When we talk about patient-centered approach, it involves the patient's right to know about his treatment, the patient's right to the second opinion, the patient's right to ask about his ailment, and he's involved in taking the decision while the doctors are providing a particular care. We ensure that the patient is spoken about any treatment before initiating any treatment. We ensure that he's aware what is going to happen to him, what are the risks involved, where he is the decision maker of his own treatment plan. This ensures a positive patient experience because he has a right to speak about his doubts, his queries, and which also involve other consultants where he is not happy with the particular services. So it involves a patient-centered approach, which is one of the strategies in patient flow management. Now, when I say capacity planning and resource allocation. Now, what do we understand about a capacity? Capacity is a particular parameter where we define, for example, let's take a particular person can run for a mile. Here, a mile is the capacity of that particular person for running. We say a person can have 10 burgers. Eating those 10 burgers is the capacity of that particular person to eat. Now, when I say capacity planning in hospital, the effective capacity planning means the hospital's capacity for providing a particular services. For example, we spoke about OPDs where a particular slot of a consultant can provide 10 slots. That is the capacity of that particular consultant to see the patient in a particular time frame. So now going ahead and introducing capacity, it is effective capacity planning and resource allocation are crucial in hospital setting. Yes, because we have to align our resource allocation according to the capacity of the patient. They are the vital for managing patient demands, optimize resource utilization and delivering quality of care. Like I said, capacity planning helps us to forecast the requirement of the patients. Accordingly, resource utilizations, and with the resource allocation, we enhance the delivering improvement in delivering quality care. The significance of capacity planning and resource allocation. Now, what is the significance? As I spoke before, hospital capacity planning involves strategic assessment. It is a long-term strategy goal of any hospital. It anticipates patient needs, adapts to evolving healthcare trend. It anticipates whether a particular services are to be improved or increased in numbers if there is a particular demand. Like, let us take a previous example of an OPD, a surgical OPD, where we fit in 5 walk-in patients. So here we have to analyze the capacity to understand that is this 5 walk-in patient, we have just 10 OPD slots, and do we need to create 5 more OPD slots here to improve the patient experiences or to complete the patient needs, or we need to have one more surgeon in that particular time frame which divides the patient and all the patients get care at the same time. So the capacity planning is part of evaluating or anticipating patient needs and adapting to evolving healthcare trends. Meeting patient demands. Accurate demand forecasting is essential. So with the data matrix what is available, we can do an accurate demand forecasting, which will make us understand a particular services is forecasted in a particular way. For example, let us take a example of health check here, where we understand that during the December, that there are number of health checks go up. People plan their health checks during December month. Multiple reasons are there in which revolve around that reason. But if you do an analysis of it, yes, there are a number of health checks which increase. Now let us take example of IPDs. During June, the IPD admissions increase in the hospital due to the virals and due to the multiple diseases, waterborne diseases which occur during that season. So we can with the data what we have in the hospital, we can accurately forecast the demand what will be coming up, and it relies on data analysis, demographics and trends. It helps us align resources. So when you know that there will be multiple health checkups in December, you align the resources accordingly so that it improves the patient's experiences by reducing the wait time and providing timely care. Optimizing resource utilization. Resource allocation balances distribution, maximizes resources use and reducing waste. When we say optimization, it is about optimization use of resources. We should understand that we can't underuse or overuse the resources, because in both the ways the hospital will be suffering either with the unhappiness of the patients or with the unhappiness which will also impact the revenues if we have excess of resources available. So maximizes resource use. So optimizing resource utilization makes us use of optimized resources. We understand that there is a particular patient for a particular service which is planned from 10 to 4. Okay, and we see that the services, the patient which is utilizing those resources is from 10 to 2, and 2 to 4 there is loss of resources. Now we have to plan whether that resources can be used for some other services, whether that time taken can be used for some other resources. So this eventually adds to resource optimization. This reduces waste, reduces the cost of the hospital operations, and improves the patient experience as well as improves the hospital revenue. It enhances the patient quality care. Delivering quality care. Capacity planning and resource allocation are patient-centric. As I told you before, hospital is patient-centric, hospital operations management is patient-centric, and all the processes revolve around the patient and hospital. Now, you're the delivering of quality care aim to enhance the patient experiences, reduce delay, improve resource efficiency, and also improve the clinical efficiency of the hospital. Their successful integration leads to better patient outcomes and satisfaction. Here, when I talk about outcome, it also includes the clinical outcomes. When I talk about quality parameters, it includes the clinical and the administrative quality parameters, which all together add up to improve the patient outcomes and the satisfactions. Demand forecasting. As we spoke before also about the demand forecasting, it is the accurate analysis of historical data and trends, examining the past patient volumes, admissions, and healthcare trends, identifying the patterns and the variation in healthcare demands. Like we talked about health checkups in December and increased IPD demand in June and July, where there is a viral, more of waterborne diseases and the viral infection spread. Here we do the demand forecasting by examining the patient's past volumes. We know that in June 20 or June 21, we had certain volumes increased in this particular month. The similar pattern is repeated in 22. So now in 23, we are prepared to provide the services, because we do a forecasting of the admissions which will be required in those particular months. Identifying patterns. So as I said, here we identify a pattern. Identify a pattern according to the month. But very important aspect here in identifying pattern is knowing about the pattern. And to know about the pattern, you require a data which gives you a proper analysis. Now, consideration of the factors like demographic and seasonality, what we spoke now, analyzing demographic data, population shifts and local characteristics. Recognizing the impact of seasonal fluctuations in healthcare demands, estimating future patient volumes for resource planning, using historical data and demographic insights to project future patient numbers, enabling hospitals to align resources to anticipated demand, optimizing patient care and resource allocation. We have all seen this in our previous slide where I've explained you how with an example of health check or with an example of an IPD. Now let us take one more example of an OPD services. Okay, for example, there is during the Diwali, post Diwali, the number of endocrinologist consultations are raised. It is due to lot of sweets being eaten by the patients and then eventually increased in your HbA1c and the sugar levels, which make them visit an endocrinologist. Now this pattern can be analyzed by a data which is prehistorical maintained. We align our endocrinologist team according to the demand forecasting as per the data, and then we anticipate that we are going to have X amount of patient in this particular month. We align the staff, we align the resources, we align the test, and always also align our marketing services according to it.